Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you. Hi, Leslie. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Oh, hi, Laura. Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, let's see. I was born and raised in Los Angeles. I graduated from UCLA. And after I graduated, I went to work at the studios. And I worked there for a while. I worked on a show called Hill Street Blues. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I started just writing sitcoms as I was watching people write them and watching all the people on the Newhart show. And so I started doing that. And then I sold my first sitcom and I quit. And so then after that, I wrote for a while, different sitcoms and for different people. And then I had my children. Mm-hmm. And at that point, the business had changed. It was really hard to get back in. And so I also didn't want to do those hours because the hours were crazy. So I went back to school. I got a master's degree in nutrition and I opened my own business and I became a nutritionist for 10 years. And I really missed the writing. So during that time, I was also writing essays for Huffington Post and for Maria Shriver. And about 8 or 9 years in, I decided to close my business and I wrote a book called After Happily Ever After.
Oh my gosh, I love this. So we chatted beforehand, but you got one of those shows that you watched. You actually wrote was one of the shows that I watched when I was growing up, which is, it combines my passion for books because the books are Sweet Valley High and the show is Sweet Valley High when it was a sitcom in the 90s and early aughts, you know. So tell us about that experience of, like, you know, what it's like to write for a show, you know, keeping in mind that fangirling about this.
That show was really funny because it wasn't on a normal lot. It was like way deep in this area that had like things on it, like pornography actually. And we were on this little set and they were, you know, they were supposed to be high school kids, but they really weren't. And then we had offices that were just like on the lot or whatever this warehouse place was. And so we would sit in those offices. And honestly, we went down to the set sometimes, but they didn't want any of the writers on the set. So we met them all and we had lunch with them all, but we weren't on the set as much. We were just like in the offices working on scripts and working on outlines, and they used the books. I remember that they did use the books and they would say like, oh, we have this, and we'd go off of the book. Some scripts were not exactly the book, mm-hmm. but they used them as like a jumping off point. And it was fun. I mean, I was very pregnant at the time. And, you know, so my mind was kind of a little bit somewhere else, but it was a fun job. And people were very nice. And I met somebody there who became one of my very close friends. So that was really nice too.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, what is the experience like? But it's thinking about the books and, like, you know, thinking about jumping off more, and like the books are obviously ghostwritten by another team of people, you know?
Yes. And there are a lot of books, right? I mean, I've never read them, but there are a lot.
Yeah. There's about like 200 of those. And they're like,
oh, that many.
Yeah. Wow. They used to come every month and it'll be a new installment of the book. And it's like a continuous series. They're always going to be 16, 17 years old, but it's the longest junior here in high school that you're ever
did you
have.
Notice if the books follow the series, because I didn't read the book, so I wouldn't know, but did they follow the series?
I think so, if I remember correctly. I think they follow a little bit loosely from the series, but I don't remember vividly. Like, I may need to watch it, you know, one of those on YouTube and see.
I just remember, it's funny because I don't always remember the names of my scripts, but for some reason I do remember the name of one of those, which was Loose Lips Sink Ships. I don't remember what it's about though.
That probably is like one of those books, you know. So yeah. So what made you decide to write a novel as opposed to going back to screenwriting?
Right. Well, getting back into screenwriting and television was just, the business had changed. They weren't giving as many freelance scripts out. So it was really hard. And with the hours, and my husband's in the business, so, you know, I didn't want to do that to my kids. They would never, ever see me, and I would never see them grow up. So I just started writing a lot of personal, fun, humorous, since I was doing sitcoms, humorous essays that I, like I said, there's a ton of them on Huffington Post. And they were always like fun things about my kids or my husband or me. I did some nutrition ones. I did some, you know, my kid going off to summer camp for the first time or going off to college for the first time. And I loved writing those because I really liked, I put myself out there. I never, you know, I'm basically a private person, but I put things out there that were funny, that were happening in my life, not like really personal. Mm-hmm. And I really liked relating to people. The comments I was getting on Huffington Post were constantly from people saying, oh my God, this happened to me, or I love this, this is so funny, or whatever. And so when I thought about writing a novel, the thing that was really important to me was writing something that other people, and in this case, it's women's fiction, but there's a lot of men that have read it because it's also about marriage. And I wanted to write something that people would say, and they have in the reviews, say, oh my God, that's my parents. Or, oh my gosh, you know, Maggie, who's my character, is me. Or I just totally relate to this because it's about a woman in midlife who's 45 years old, and she gave up her high-powered job to raise her daughter. And it's now 17 years later, and her daughter's becoming independent, obviously is independent, and she is going to go off to college. So Maggie decides it's time to rediscover herself and who she is now and what's the next chapter of her life.
After Happily Ever After, Maggie is the main character, and she's 45, and she wants to rediscover who she is at this point in her life because she gave up her big power job to raise her daughter 17 years before. And now her daughter's going to go off to college. And so she just wants to figure out who she is now. And she's also dealing with her husband, who she has a great marriage, but her husband is hiding something from her. The reader knows what it is, but she doesn't know what it is. Mm-hmm. So she's feeling very lonely. And she's also dealing with her mother, who's very, very judgmental. And then her father starts having a huge health crisis. And all these things come on top of her, and she starts to make these decisions that could blow up the life she's always built.
And I love the fact you wrote your older characters, like, just think about midlife, or I hate to say 40s and midlife, but you talk, right. You know, because I'm like,
I know.
You talk, you know, older characters and like going and like having this point of like that a breaking point, you know, and then coming back together. What was the, like, you know, how much fun did you have breaking her life apart, you know?
It was a blast because I wrote Maggie from the first person point of view because I wanted the person who was reading it to hear her thoughts and see how she kind of goes under, because she's really a normal human being, but she just becomes so like overwhelmed with all the things that are happening in her life. And so I had a blast writing her. I like kept thinking of Julia Louis-Dreyfus when I was writing her. I just love Julia.
Yes.
Kind of like why I sort of thought that way.
Yes, I love this. So let's see. Let's have some book recommendations. Talk to us about some books that you have read or that you recommend or you have read over the past few years that you recommend our listeners to pick up.
Well, I am a huge fan, and they have actually influenced my work, of like Jennifer Weiner and Taylor Jenkins Reid, Kristen Hanna and Jodi Picoult. I really like books about real people. I'm not one of those people like that really reads fantasy. And I also like psychological thrillers. I'm a huge fan of Shari. I don't know if you say her name, Shari Lapina.
Oh, yes,
Diane Chamberlain and Harlan Coben. I love them all. So I guess if during COVID, I read a lot of more like psychological thrillers and more mystery kind of books. So I love Harlan Coben. I've read everything I think he's ever written. And the last one I read was his new one, which was Win. which was really good. And the character that he has had in other books, this man Wynn, he had him, this book was really about him. So I loved that. And I read The End of Her by Shari Lapano. And that was really, really good. And, you know, it's about a married couple. So that was really fun, you know, just to see this craziness that happens. And it actually could have happened, you know, what the story was. And I also read, this was more women's fiction, but I think my favorite book is Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid. Have you ever read that?
I did. It's fabulous. It's so great.
I love that book, the old Hollywood stuff. And I know it was kind of based on Elizabeth Taylor, but oh my God, it was so good. I loved it.
It was so good. Yeah. It was like a gift that you keep unwrapping as you've read the pages and you learn more about Evelyn Hugo and her story. You're like, oh my God, it's like completely addictive. Like you just want to keep reading her story.
I know, because I read all of Taylor Jenkins Reid also. I still haven't gotten yet to Malibu Rising because I've been so busy finishing my second book, but I really want to read it. But her earlier books are all really good too. And they're just about, they're like women in their 30s about love and, you know, and they're great. She always comes up with these great stories.
Yes. So talk to us about your next book. What are you writing? What are you writing next?
So I'm writing a book. It's also women's fiction, but it's realistic. And it's about two women from various backgrounds who end up meeting in a support group when they go through a tragedy. And it's how they each handle it, how they bond, how they become friends, and how they kind of get through it and find this friendship that they didn't expect would ever happen.
I love that you're diving into friendships. I think that's like something that's a hot topic, you know, when you think about making friends as an adult is quite interesting. It's not difficult.
Yeah, I know. It's not interesting. Easy. I mean, you can make friends through your kids and then your kids get older and then, you know, they don't want you around anyway. So yeah, when you get a lot older, it's harder to make friends unless you're at a job every day, I guess.
And even that is still like, you don't want to hang out with just your job friends.
I know. It's true. Yeah. It does get hard. And being a writer also is very, you know, you're alone all the time. So I reach out. I still have friends from junior high and high school. So
yeah,
in high school and college. And yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think friendships is like something I'm like, I'm curious to dive into a little bit more in just the season of my life where I am. So I'm excited for your book because that's actually, I'm like, this will be fun to see, you know. No, it's like breaking apart a tragedy and having all this stuff. And like, it's so like, it's a fun exploration of friendships in different places.
Yeah. And I also like the fact that these two women are from various backgrounds and, you know, they wouldn't normally find each other.
Yep. Yeah, I still have good friends when I was in group and I'd done various support groups and it's been an interesting, I think it's like you don't expect it, but it's one of those like nice consequences that happen. Like you are going through something terrible and something bad and you go find support in other people and you're like, oh, we have other things in common other than this, you know, big stuff.
Exactly. You know? And support groups, I mean, they're like so intimate because you're discussing whatever it is that you're discussing. And so you get really close really fast to all those people. Yes. And I also, I mean, the book is also like After Happily Ever After is written with humor and, you know, there are heartbreaking moments in both books, but they're both also written with humor because that's what I do and that's what I like. I like humorous banter and dialogue and things like that.
Yes. Oh, love this. Love this so much. Awesome. So tell us where you can find you online.
Okay. So I have a website. It's LeslieARasmussen.com. Mm-hmm. I'm also on Instagram at Leslie R. Author. I'm on Facebook at After Happily Ever After Novel. I'm on Twitter at Leslie R. Author. And I'm on LinkedIn at Leslie A. Rasmussen.
Thank you.
I'm everywhere.
Everywhere. Thank you, Leslie, for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Laura. I really appreciate it.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libra FM.
If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add LibreFM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. LibreFM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for women's audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for LibreFM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.